Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, what we like to do around here is we want to make sure that you, the listener, gets the answers to the questions that you have and that you feel like we participate with you and we don't look past you. So part of JJ's question was not answered, and Keenan wanted to take some time to get to the last part of it about Tom Brady and the potential Hall of Fame receivers that he has or has not had in New England.
Our playmakers, as you said, Gronk will probably be a...
I said Gronk will be a Hall of Famer,
he'll be
right?
a Hall of Famer. And
he mentioned Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, and I can't recall when the Patriots have drafted a receiver in the first round. Mm-mm. It's been a while, so...
And even from a running back position, you and I have talked about this before, and Travis and I have talked about this too. They may end up being Hall of Famers at the end of their career, but guys like Corey Dillon,
yep.
who Fred Taylor, guys that were great elsewhere and on the downside
on the back,
of, their
on the back
career,
of their career,
but were brought in to do exactly that, help them to win.
They're great locker room people.
Knowledgeable.
Good leaders. And you know what? When you go to New England, you know who the boss is.
No question about
in
that.
In the locker
room.
The
two room. Bosses.
The two bosses, but the boss in the locker room for the player standpoint is Tom Brady. Nobody can overshadow Tom Brady. You just go out and do your job, and he's going to get you to where you want to be. And, I mean, what I do like about the situation is that he's only had Randy Moss. You know, you have Edelman, who was the MVP? Deion Branch.
Yep.
I mean, those
Julian Edelman.
Deion Branch. He had LaFell, who was in... Who's in Cincinnati right now.
Right.
I mean, you look at the type of players he brings in, you know.
Amendola,
Wes Walker.
I was going to say, is a guy that when all is said and done, people are going to give a lot of credit to, but the only reason why he gets as much credit as he does because he won.
Wes Walker was a free agent coming into the league. People don't realize that.
Yeah, Texas Tech guy.
Yeah, and made himself, which I like. I mean, and so... With that being said, Tom Brady is an awesome quarterback and an awesome leader. The GOAT, as I call him.
Okay, well. Anyway,
JJ.
Tom Brady is your pick for MVP, too. Ken, you've been holding a long time. We appreciate it. You want to talk about NFL MVP. What's up?
Yo, what's happening, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good man. What's appreciate up? You holding. What's up?
Hey, well, first off, I want to clarify something. Matt Ryan did win one playoff game, and that was against Seattle at home at the Dome.
You know
Let's
what?
Clarify that.
Let's clarify. Okay.
Appreciate that, Ken.
Then he went to New York and.
They played in San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah, they did lose. You're right, Ken.
Expose
Good job.
Him for who he is.
Expose
Ken.
Me, Ken.
Expose him.
It's black
He's
and white.
Butt-ass naked right
you
now.
Got
you
me.
Go.
Hey, I know my birds, man. Look at him. When it comes to Matt Ryan, I mean, stats are great, and you're right. He's going to be judged by playoffs. I mean, for the Falcons, for us, our MVP fairly is Alex Mack. Because without the line, the center man, Brian right. was not going to be worth Jack this year.
Right.
Very true.
Very true.
And, you know, I mean, he's playing out his head. You got your Julio Jones was 40 yards short from being the number one wide receiver receiving yards this year. And he missed two games. But imagine if he had played all 16 games. He would have led the league and probably every receiver.
So Ken, are you
Ken, are you
taking Matt Ryan?
I was just gonna say,
are you
who
just,
you taking? Because
it doesn't sound like you're taking Matt Ryan.
It's butts, candies, nuts, and as I like to say, if my aunt had outdoor plumbing, it'd be my uncle. So we can get through all that. But who are you taking?
Now I'm still gonna go with Matt stat wise.
That doesn't sound confident right
no,
there. That
nothing
didn't sound
at all.
Confident
no.
right
he
there.
He doesn't have those crystal balls that are the size of beach balls.
Look, I'm going to go with a huge cojones. I'm going to go with Matt deserve it. This team been mired. Plus, he got pressure. We got a new stadium coming up. They know we got to get butts in the seat. And what better way than him being the MVP of the Falcons, which we have not had ever, I can ever think of in my life. And he's brought that team together and has helped execute every part that they need.
Hey, Ken.
That's what
Ken,
I feel.
Ken, know. Ken, Ken. No, I'm all good with that. But yeah. Guess what? You don't play this week. You don't play till next week. So you got plenty of time right. in your spare time to find a convenience store to do the dirty bird in and hope that you don't get caught just to show your true fandomonium for the Falcons.
And you can put it on on Twitter so we can see it.
Yeah, like you could Facebook Live that, Ken, and I'm telling you, you could get I don't get mad love, but you could get mad attention.
Hey, I already got a flag on the car riding through the city.
Well, but if you had a flag somewhere else and you were in a convenience store doing the Dirty Bird, it would get more attention. That's all I'm saying. All right, Ken, we'll talk to you next week when we know who your Falcons are playing, and we can talk to you about that matchup. We always appreciate the call. Good stuff from Ken. I already see somebody calling back, but first we owe Kevin a shout. Kevin, you want to talk about quarterbacks you fear?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's been a while.
Yep, what's up, man?
Hey, I'd say my most one to be feared is probably Tom Brady. Because I think he's still mad about being suspended for the 4 games, and now Gronk is out. I think he's got something he wants to prove. And I think taking away those three, I'm going to say Dak, because I don't think there's another team that has two veteran quarterbacks behind him, you know,
Kevin, I don't like
to see the field. And there's been an article that states, you know, how much Tony Romo has been a help as far as, you know, the logistics of the game and how – Sanchez has been a cheerleader because, I mean, we know as a quarterback, that's the only thing he's really good for is right. to cheer on the team or the other team when he throws a pick, for that matter. But, you know, I like Dak's composure. I think he could make an early mistake in that first playoff game for him, but it doesn't seem to faze him at all. And I think that's been his number one quality. It is how he reacts to adversity.
Kev, understand that the lack of expertise from the man to my left has influenced you in a way that only Kevin, certain people can.
Kevin,
so,
you're talking.
Oh no, I'm a
great
Cowboys
stuff.
Fan. You
should have just
Dak's family personally. I'm going to tell you this though. I don't think there's another team that has a complete offense like the Cowboys do between offensive line, running back, and probably one of the best core receivers and tight end. I mean, they're stacked on offense. And if the defense plays
Cole
well,
Beasley doesn't get enough credit, man.
He doesn't.
Let me just say this right now, Kevin. Cole Beasley doesn't get enough credit because that man has been Dak's security blanket all year along with Witten, and Cole Beasley has been huge. So, you know what? That's a good argument to have because there are teams that are loaded and talented, but Dallas starting with that offensive line, like I like to say, you want security and effectiveness on offense? Get some big hosses like that can do what they do on the offensive line. You go places, literally. So we appreciate the call, Kev. Don't be a stranger. Thanks for chiming in. And Desmond, I believe you're back, but you're on right now. What's up?
Oh, yes, sir. I was just saying, only reason I was saying Tony Romo would be my most fearful quarterback out of the rest of them because all the other quarterbacks are facing some kind of hurdle this year in the playoffs. Whether it's my original choice would be Russell Wilson, but unfortunately he's been banged up all year, so he wouldn't be a choice of mine. Both Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan also have problems as far as winning in the playoffs, and Matt Ryan probably his whole career, even in college football, he's just not good at winning.
Desmond,
big games.
Let me see if you'll change your mind, okay? Here's the third part of the question. What quarterback on that list would you take to hold for a field goal in a playoff game this year? Go.
It won't be
Tony. I don't think it's Tony Romo. All right, Des, thanks for calling back. We appreciate you listening, man. So you can chime in as well. We've got several precursors as well as the original question. What quarterback would you take as the most feared in the playoffs this year? John Gruden says Eli Manning. What says you? And then if we followed it up by saying you can't take Brady, Rodgers, or Roethlisberger, what say you? Keenan says Dak. I say Russell Wilson. You guys have kind of made it even, Steven, between the two of us right now, along with a few others. And, of course, we understand the fan. See, again, this is the thing that people that don't listen or don't get it on a regular basis by following me on Twitter, they just don't get it. One, we're honest, right? So we're going to give our opinion. But two, I didn't even pick Aaron Rodgers for my MVP or Offensive Player of the Year.
Looking at what I'm looking at, I wouldn't have picked him as the most threatened quarterback.
And you just like to stir the pot for me. That's fine.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is I'm honest.
When I tell you the percentages after the commercial,
open-minded,
we'll talk
and
about it.
Rational about it. But Ken loves his Dirty Birds, and he's going to go with Matt Ryan. I love the fact that he's sticking with his team. So you tell me, I think one of the greatest tweets, and I got it a couple different ways, from a couple different places. Nothing like my man Bim a Thug on Twitter, Dave, who is a huge Rockets guy, a capologist, but also a very smart man. He and Trey Shewell all said the same thing. They both picked Brock Osweiler. as the quarterback they fear most in the playoffs because they fear he's going to turn it over and completely collapse and the Texans are going to lose.
That's not fair.
But those are classics, and that's why we appreciate you guys. Hey, guess what? We're here till 4, and we're going to continue to do this as long as you want us to do it, at least until 4. And then the Blitz will come over to not have anybody's back and tell everybody that they got the greatest show on free earth, and that's fine. Maybe Alberto will call in. Hey, we're ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, along with Nick Sciarra till 4 o'clock as we continue to roll down the road. And by the way, special shout-outs to our amateur meteorologist up north in Wisconsin, my college roommate Steve Olson, who's definitely given us the weather report with the wind chill, minus 14 in Tundraville today. Yeah, I don't miss that at all.
Neither do I.
Since Barry's out, you are the resident number cruncher today as I see the pen being put to paper over and over and over again, and you are crunching quarterback numbers.
I am, and
he who played for Gruden one time in the quarterback
and John Gruden is
classroom.
Right. Why he picked? I see why he picked.
Break
Eli,
it down for us.
Eli Manning. His winning percentage. Eli's played 11 games in the playoffs. He's 8-3 at a 73% clip.
Wow. Okay.
Tom Brady. You know, everybody, he's played more than anybody else. He's had 31 games. He's 22-9. He's at 71%.
It's a pretty good sample size, though.
Yes, for 31 games. Yeah. That's a really good sample size. Your boy, Aaron Rodgers, he's been in that 13 times. He's 7-6. He's at a 54% clip.
Which ain't great.
That's why you didn't pick him either.
Right.
But Russell Wilson, the guy you picked.
I did.
Russell Wilson's been there.
7-3, baby.
He's 7-3. He's 70%. I love that. And, you know, these guys, Big Ben, he's 64%. You know, he's 11-6. Matt Ryan, we was talking about Matt Ryan.
Ken,
you're right. He won one game. He's 1-4 at a 20% clip. Mm. And Desmond. Tony Romo.
Bring it to him.
He's 33%. I mean, he's 2-4.
Now, let me ask you a question because we said we're going to be good at follow-up questions today, Nick. Did we not?
We did.
All right. Then let me ask you a follow-up question. Of the people that you're boasting about and of the people that you're speaking about, how many of them had a receiver core that went to Miami for a few days just to blow off some steam, only to be ready for a wild card game this weekend in minus 14 degree temperatures? Just throwing it out there. Your thoughts.
You know what?
I want your honest thoughts.
I don't like it. But as you said, it's the millennium baby.
These are millennia babies, yes.
And guess what? They go as they go. Oh. They go to Miami. They go down to Puerto Rico. They do everything. You know, but me, myself, I got more things to concentrate on. If I want some sun, I'm going to get some sun in Texas. And that means that I'm going to prepare so I can get to the Super Bowl in Houston, Texas. That's the sun that I would want to have. And I don't think, you know, that they can be ready. But you know what? This is the new age. They'll probably be ready, and he'll probably go out and catch about 12 passes for about 205 yards.
OBJ might, but
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, you look, they may throw.
I'm talking about,
but they may throw a lot at him and say Shepard and a dinged up Cruz all year beat him.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about OBJ,
and
he's been doing it all year. You know, with people knowing that he's the number one target and he's Eli's guy. So guess what? You know, he finds a way and, you know, they find a way to get him the football. Eli finds a way to get him the football, whether it's 20 targets, 25 targets, he may have 30 targets this week.
Now we had a texter that texted in, and said, Texas Tech quarterback's coming out early, Mahomes. And wanted to know your assessment of him, and is he a fit for the Texans? Should he be available in the draft?
You know what? He has a nice arm. I've watched
good,
him a
good
couple,
solid
good,
arm. I'll agree with that. And really athletic.
Athletic, good size, too. And you know what? In the evaluation, you know, he's in an air raid offense. So he's not been under center a lot. You know, and they're always in the gun. So we'll see what happens because when he gets to the combine – everybody's going to want to see what happens when he gets up under center. How is his drops, and how can, you know, can he read the defense in his drops and be able to make the right decision? So I'm looking forward to seeing him, because his arm talent is impressive.
He's more ready than Miami's quarterback. I think both of them should have probably got a little bit better advice before they jumped out. Now, they might be trying to capitalize on the fact that this is a really weak quarterback draft.
You got
to
do it.
Right. So you get out to try and get paid and try and get somebody to take a chance, which then maybe is more intelligent thinking than I'm giving them credit for. But at the same time, if you're not like really knocking the world on fire in college and you got another year to prove yourself, unless you got some kind of guarantee we don't know about, I'm not so sure they made the right decision.
You know, and a lot of times people say, you know, I say it's the right situation. You get out and be able to get to a team where you don't have to be the starter right away.
Right.
You can learn.
You can Tom Savage it.
Yeah, you can be developed. And then guess what? When it's your time, because they drafted you for quarterback in the waiting, mm-hmm. and you step in and be ready to play. Sometimes it's good to get out. But the biggest thing I think why they got out is because the quarterback class is really, really weak. And, you know, they bring a lot of value to that quarterback class.
What about a guy like Watt out of Wisconsin, a linebacker who's only played linebacker for 1 year? Yes, he's got that last name. Yes, his two brothers are in the NFL, but he was an offensive guy until this last season. Now, right. I watched every game, and he's got JJ's motor.
He's playing well. He plays hard.
And he played hard, but at the same time, I would think the body of work and the sample size has to be bigger. He's coming out trying to capitalize. They do rank him as the 10th highest rated linebacker in the draft. But I questioned it when I read it, going, one more year might have done him some good to make sure that he proves to everyone, I can play this position. It is my position now. I'm settled on it, and I'm going to dominate at it.
Yeah, he's going to have the question is he going to just pop out and not be the guy and develop to be the dominating linebacker that people think he could be? Because he's shown some signs of being a dominant player in the Big Ten, which is right. a great conference to show that you can be a dominant player. But the sample size is very small at linebacker. You know, I'm with you. One more year probably puts him, you know, as the number one linebacker in the country. But you know what?
At least in the top five, right?
Yeah, he has that feel right now, and he somebody's giving him some advice. It could be brother. It could be. You know, he just feels like he's ready. And a lot of times when a kid says he's ready, you can talk to him until you're blue in the face. He's coming out.
Mindset, he's gone. All right, let's get a caller in here before we head to a break. Let's see. Let's go to Steven, quarterbacks you fear. What's up? Nick, Steven there?
Steven.
Hear me?
Yeah, got you now, man. What's up?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Steven.
All right, cool. I just want to tell you right off the bat, I love both of your approach to your show. I love the fact that you're like not wanting to, you know, argue and all that stuff. I mean, I appreciate good, intelligent sports talk like you guys are bringing, and I love your open discussions about, considering all the different points of view, and you know, might not agree with everything, but that's okay. But, you know, like I personally, don't, and please don't make a sound, but I'm a Cowboys fan. And so I have been since I was a little kid. And, you know, I'm so sick of Cowboy haters. You know, it's like we're all people that like sports, right? So I just want to move on and just, I like all teams too. I just happen to be a Cowboys fan first and foremost. Anyway, what I wanted to say about the quarterback situation is,
yep.
That, there's obvious great quarterbacks, and, you know, obviously, Dak is unprecedented. You know, what he's doing is unprecedented. So there's really no intelligent conversation to have any references, because no rookie has ever gone. I could be wrong, but I don't think any rookie has done this well before and expected to go into playoffs as a rookie. At least I don't know of it. And, so I don't think there's any really intelligent discussion to have about judging whether or not he'll do it or not, because everything he's done so far has been like, wow, nobody.
Well,
was
the key,
it.
The key is we don't have a sample size to be critical of. So this is his resume. because we know what he did in the regular season. Now we have to see what he can do in the playoffs. So you're absolutely right. There is no sample size, and he's creating his resume as he goes. He could create one hell of a resume to be a Fortune 500, got to have kind of prospect for the rest of his career, or there could be work to do. But either way, I think the future's brighter knowing that you got Dak Prescott on your roster in Dallas. It's not something that's going to be make or break. More so like in Atlanta where Matt Ryan's had his failures. He's got to be in a situation now where he either puts up or it's time to shut up and realize he is who he is, but he may never be what you want him to be. All right, so we got more football talk, and we're going to continue to get to it. Brian, Josh, you're going to have to hold because we've got a segment coming up, and then we'll get back to football discussion. But you know how certain conversation has legs? Certain conversation, you get good run on the road. But what about if your conversation has fangs? And what about if she can back it up? Well, how about that? We've got our next segment, thanks to our friends at the Gamer Wall. This is a segment you're going to want to take part in because if you're a gamer at all, she got game, she got fangs, and she got 300,000 Twitter followers. What do you got? Bring it. It's coming next. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Not just Joel Blank, because we couldn't do it alone here on the Joel Blank Show. My trusty sidekick each and every day, Nick Shirara behind the glass. And of course, my man that helps me to kick ass, my dear friend for, God, I don't even know how long now.
Too long.
Way too long. Keenan McCardell. And now on hold, someone that I teased you with, and I use that term loosely in a different way. But I said, you know what? You want a story to have legs, but what if your gamer connection had fangs? How about that? Because now I welcome to the show, taking over from Mark Flood, who has bigger and better things to do, fish to fry and chicks to chase. He's definitely going with the grunge look and heading out downtown to Midtown right now to try and find out what's on the scene. So in his place, dare I say, the Wally Pip of call-in guests to the show, Jesse Fangs Campana. Welcome to the show, ma'am.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm Joel. Keenan next to me. Want to give the listeners just a little bit of background on you. A million YouTube followers. 300,000 on Twitter.
She's going to get you right. It's 1.3.
Oh, 1.3 now. Yeah. Okay, look. Well, guess what? If we combined the YouTube and the Twitter, we would have 1.6 then, because it's 1.3 and then 300,000 on Twitter. And I'm not a math major, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select.
They didn't do that in Wisconsin.
But easy. But Jesse is a gamer expert, shall we say, and she'll kick your ass. So, Jesse, first and foremost, let me ask you this. How the heck did you get involved in all this? And how in the world did you build that size following?
Well, back in college, I guess, I was pretty addicted to a game called Call of Duty. And so I played it, like, a lot. I didn't go to school most times I was playing that. And I got pretty competitive into it because I just played it online and I got into these, like, tournaments, like, game battles. And so I started playing on there. And from there, I started, like, traveling and competing. And I decided to start posting it on, like, a streaming site called Twitch TV. Mm-hmm. And when I was on there, I happened to meet an English dude. And he was like, hey, have you ever thought about playing FIFA? And I was like, no, but I'll give it a try. And I played it for, like, a week and became addicted. And I guess international only girl that plays FIFA, the following started pretty quickly. And it grew from there. Now it is where I am here.
So you're connected with our guys at The Gamer Wall, which is the Twitter account at The Gamer Wall or TheGamerWall.com. Tell us how that happened. And then if you're out there and competing against folks that like to participate in gaming on The Gamer Wall.
So I met the guys for The Gamer Wall because I happened to be, my husband is a fraternity brother of one of their friends from high school. And so we've met and connected through that way. Started looking at the site, started competing on it. I used, with my followers, they're always looking for ways to play me, and so it's a pretty good way to be like, hey, how about you play me for money? So they get to play me, and they get a chance. And I'm good at the game, but there's, like, other people that are much better. But I must say I'm undefeated on the Gamer Wall currently.
Oh,
so if anyone wants to try to take that crown, I have not lost. on the website yet, but yeah, I started competing on there and trying to shout it out to my viewers because they're always looking for places to compete.
Right off the bat, throwing down the gauntlet, I like it. And you know what you said that made me feel a lot more comfortable about this segment right off the top?
Right now.
You're married and you have a husband, because those two clowns they're not in the same boat. So you're focused. That's what I like. There's focus on business and gaming. That's what these guys are going to work on. In 2017, they told me, or basically I told them, their new resolution is to work on being more like you. Thanks. How about that?
Yes. He's a gamer as well, too, so it makes for the perfect couple.
So, Fangs, tell us how people can check you out besides the gamer wall. Tell everybody about the YouTube channel. Tell everybody your handle on Twitter and how people can get up close and personal to a certain degree with a respectable amount to make sure that they can find out more about you and maybe compete against you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at responding on Twitter. My Twitter is itsfangs, I-T-S Fangs. It would just be Fangs, but apparently somebody already has that, and she wanted to charge me like $10,000 to get it back. So I have to have it itsfangs. And then my YouTube is very long and very obnoxious because they won't let you change it. It's Fang I3Anger. But if you go and you just type in Fangs, I'm the one that pops up. So it makes it easier that way.
There you have it. And there she used the key word. She's the one that pops up.
Yeah. Ms. All Fangs, right. I got a question for you. Do you guys have a big Lazy Boy gaming chair in front of the televisions? Both of you guys, how do you sit down and watch? How do you sit down
and
play?
It's a good question, because guys have man caves to watch games, but I know people that have like legitimate rooms in their house dedicated to like their pilot chair when they're gaming against people.
Well, I have an office in my house, so I have like a gaming office and it's got all of my stuff in it, but I don't have a Lazy Boy. If you're into professional gaming, they have these like DX racer chairs. They look like chairs that would be in race cars, and they're like really big and flashy, and they send those out. So I use one of those.
That doesn't seem like it's comfortable, monitor. Huh?
Different than you'd imagine. Yeah, it's pretty comfortable, actually.
You know, we have a lot of guys that game named Richard. And if they have a chair like that, they're part of the Little Dick Club. Because those are the kind of things that, when they're playing, those are the kind of things that they need to feel better about themselves when they take an ass whooping from Fangs. This is what I'm saying to you.
I got you.
Right?
I like to kick my feet up after I whip my son's butt in Madden. So, you know, I need a Lazy Boy. So
but
I can
the
kick
word
my feet
on the street is
go,
that hasn't happened yet. So
in Madden, yeah, but in FIFA, I don't.
Wow.
I don't play soccer like that. So,
all right, Nick, you're the gamer. Throw some questions for Fangs. What do you got?
Yeah, so I have a Gamer Wall account, and my game is Madden, but I know FIFA is a very popular game on that platform. So my question to you is, you know, when you're going up against somebody, and these are for the gamers that actually want to win, like, what can you give away in terms of signs of a good opponent? Signs of, because I want to go on playing Madden, I want to be undefeated just like you are. But I want to know what when an opponent comes on the board and I say, you know what, and I've played him online before, how do I know this guy's a good player? He's a better player than I am.
We're saying based off of just being on the Gamer Wall board,
just playing online.
When I'm online, the moment that I enter, I play Ultimate Team, so they're like, you have these different color jerseys that you can choose and stuff. So the moment I see like a legend jersey or some kind of custom jersey, I'm not playing that person. Also, they have like,
wow, there's a scouting department. I like it.
So you're scouting. You got, wow, that's nice.
And I think those are good tips because people would be scared, right?
Nick, what did you just say?
Yeah.
I think those are, and I'm not going to repeat it, but those are good. And I don't even know what
those
to say.
Those are good pointers.
Pointers. There you go. Those are good pointers. Because I think when I'm playing on Madden, I can literally sense within 2 or 3 minutes that this player is either better or not better than I am.
So what do you do?
Oh, yeah. You can see right away.
I just play through. I don't quit.
L. You take your L?
Yeah, I just take the L, which is like 90% of the time.
How about disconnect? Oh, my internet disconnected.
Madden is so difficult, though. Madden's difficult because it's just, I don't know, there's different things that can happen when it comes to fumbling interceptions that are bull crap. So that was different.
No, it's easy. Madden is easy. Now, FIFA's a little harder than Madden.
The thing that's amazing to me, Jesse, is the fact that FIFA is the game amongst professional athletes. I worked for the Rockets for 23 years. I can tell you in the last 5 years that pregame in the equipment manager's room, before any game, you will find 3 to 5 of the Rockets players getting in knockdown, drag-out FIFA games on the TV in there, getting ready for these guys on the planes. It is serious. Why is FIFA the game that everybody wants to play?
It's just so addicting. Like, for one, it's the international sport, like the greatest sport in the world, I must say. And so it's so addicting when you play in the game because it's so hard to score goals that the moment that you actually do against your opponent, it's like the most exhilarating feeling of your life. So it's just fun to like be able to play that back and forth. And it's not that hard to get used to. Once you play like a few games, you'll get it down pretty quickly. So I think it's just an exciting game.
So it's actually realistic because in real life, you can't score a lot of goals either. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How long did it take you to come up with that one?
A draw.
Yeah, how long did it take Keenan to come up with that one? Woo!
Wow.
I'm telling you what.
Let's get our FIFA game on, brother.
Jesse, there's a reason why NASA is close to this town, because we need rocket scientists, and Keenan just qualified. So again, tell everybody where to reach you and how to play you and why the Gamer Wall is such a great site and location for people to check out.
Gamer Wall is huge because, I mean, esports is becoming huge. That's, like, the biggest thing coming right now. Like, probably 5 or 10 years from now, people are going to be forcing their kids to do that instead of play football, I imagine. Because this is where it's at. So it's, like, the beginning of a place where you can start to try. If you're good at a game and you want to try to make money, it's an easy place to make money because you can go in there and just whoop a bunch of people and win. You can find me on there. That's the only way you're going to play me. I play on Gamer Wall if I'm going to compete or do anything competitive. But if you want to just hang out and check me out, you can just go to my YouTube channel. It's Bangs. I do FIFA. I also have some like crazy in real life content that I do too, so it's always entertaining.
Jesse, we appreciate the time and the knowledge as Fangs sinks her teeth into why you should be checking out thegamerwall.com and taking on the best. If you want to be the best, you got to play the best. Well, that means you get to thegamerwall.com or at thegamerwall on Twitter and you give it a go. Hey, we love the fact that they're part of the show. We're going to be right back. We're going to have more talk for you if you want to keep talking about quarterbacks and the one you fear the most in the playoffs. If you want to talk about your Texans, you want to talk about the Rockets, you want to talk about FIFA, hey, let's talk about what you want to talk about. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, that was fun, wasn't it?
It was, man. I really enjoyed that conversation.
Not hard on your eyes either. If you know, if you want to, you want to get in. I mean, just be prepared.
You got to subscribe to her.
Subscribe, check her out. Head to thegamerwall.com, but be aware of the fact that that's where the niceness ends. She'll kick your ass.
Absolutely. She told you that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm telling you, like,
she said for money too.
There are so many people that love FIFA. Like, I'm telling you, like they had tournaments on the team playing, and like Capella and Demo and Harden. And Trevor and Jason Terry, those dudes are like passionate FIFA players. And they're worried about what team they are and all that stuff.
But
it's crazy.
What she's doing, she's building her ultimate team, which makes it even better. So you can get good players, not exactly. Just the regular players. You can get good players and team them up.
She's building the team that she wants you to fear the most come playoffs.
Absolutely. And you know she's legit. 1.2, she corrected you. Was it 1.2 or 1.3 subscribers?
1.3.
Wow.
So she's on it.
Hey, boys, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You were hungry a little earlier, so this will be right down your alley. But, Nick, right down yours as well because of it's in your backyard. But how does a margarita pizza sound like with fresh mozzarella cheese and an eggplant parmesan sandwich?
Sounds good.
Amazing right now.
How about that? How about the fact that I just got pictures that I'll show you guys from my people at Fallible Brothers? Hani is the man over there, and if you go in there right now, you can get 25% off your order. Buy one, get one free on pizzas, and you can try the new margarita pizza with fresh mozzarella cheese or the new eggplant parmesan sandwich. It's all takeout only, so grab the food on the way home. It's right there at Sweetwater Boulevard and 59 as you head out the Sugarland Way, and then head on your night. Take care of your family. Have some great food without all the hassles of having to cook, and I'm telling you, it's the best pizza in town. Fallible Brothers has been phenomenal. They're sponsors of ours, but even if they weren't sponsors of ours, my wife and I will make sure we frequent Fallible Brothers on our cheat night because I'm telling you, it is the best pizza around. So that is fantastic news. And the picture's not too bad either. Not like we're talking about Fangs. But well, before Fangs, we were talking about football. We were talking about the Rockets. We were talking about Connor Cook, Keenan.
Yes.
You have been on a team that's had to face Connor Cook because we know that there's not that much tape about Connor Cook, right?
Right.
But he was at Michigan State. You were at Maryland. Both in the Big Ten. You know, you hear all this stuff now. Well, you know what? He wasn't a good teammate. His teammates weren't big fans of his. I mean,
he wasn't a
you're not
leader.
Playing the game to be a friend, right?
Well, they just said he wasn't a leader. That was the big
and
thing.
Then others around town like to take that and run with it. But tell me what you know about Connor Cook, what Texans fans don't know that they should be expecting.
You gotta realize they're facing a guy that played that was a fifth year senior at Michigan State. He's coming in. He's a mature rookie. He's seen a lot and he runs a pro. He ran a pro style offense at Michigan State. So what I like about Connor Cook is his poise and his arm strength. I mean, he likes to push the ball down the field. I mean, I think his big thing is throwing he throws a very good fade ball. I mean, I think that he's going to give those guys outside Crabtree and Amari Cooper opportunities to catch the ball on the fade ball. I mean, and I think I wouldn't be surprised that, like I said yesterday, that they come out throwing the football because they're expecting that everybody's expecting them to rely on the run so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're gonna run the ball probably more, but I would think they would try to come out and show that, hey, we're not scared to call the pass plays with Connor Cook and
Barry said it yesterday. I mean, Barry's looking at it, and that's the first thing out of his mouth. Where both teams were just going to try and run the ball, both teams were going to blitz all the time, and made the best team win. But you're telling me something different. That's interesting.
I mean, as coaches, we try to throw you off a little bit, you know. And I think everybody in America is saying, well, both teams are going to run, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Brock drop back in the pocket a little bit more and test the Oakland Raiders secondary. And I definitely think the Raiders are going to try to throw a monkey wrench in everybody's plans with Connor Cook, and they're going to give him an opportunity to make some plays with his arm.
As much as we've been critical of the quarterback position in Brock specifically this year, did you see what I saw last week? They didn't win the game. But when he came in, he looked a little bit more confident.
Right.
He looked like he wasn't staring down receivers, which has been my hot button. But he looked like he was a little bit more in control, and his decisions were a little better than they had been.
It's like this. Sometimes you pull a guy to let him stand on the sideline to see what he's missing,
mm-hmm.
and you put him back in and say, go back and play. And then he understands what...
Show me what you learned.
He's showing you what he's learned.
Good point.
So he stepped back in and was like, okay, I've seen this on the sideline, and you just chomping at the bit to get your opportunity again. And he got his opportunity. He came back with a lot more confidence because he's seen it. I mean, and it's nothing against, like, I always tell some young coaches, I mean, like in high school and stuff, pull your star player when he's not having a good time, just a great game or something, just for a couple plays, just to get his attention, to make him focus on what you're looking at,
or refocus,
and he'll see it like you see it, and he'll go back in and play better.
The interesting thing when you say that to me, though, is depending on what level you're doing it. If you're doing it on the high school level, and you got a kid who thinks he's all that, and he goes completely ballistic,
most of them do.
Yeah. Then you got a problem on your hands, but you see the true character of a kid, but that can cost him when he gets to the next level.
No doubt. But that kid has to have a lot of confidence in you. You got to have his respect. He has to be able to respect you, mm-hmm. and knowing that you have his best interest at hand. And a lot of times kids don't think that with coaches. And a lot of times it's just to get your attention, you know. And like my old coach used to say, the best way to get your attention is to put you on the sideline.
Either that or whisper, because they always said that you want to capture someone's attention, whisper. I'm just saying, I've heard that too.
Whisper?
Yeah. Used to be a commercial. Anyway, hey, we've got two in the books, one to go. We've got a hell of a show going here right now, and it's all because of you. We've had full phone lines the entire time, and it's all because we threw out a question at the start of the show. John Gruden said, Eli Manning is the quarterback I fear most heading into the playoffs. And I said, what say you? Who is the quarterback that you fear the most heading into the playoffs? And then Keenan threw in a fantastic follow-up question, which is, if you can't take Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Ben Roethlisberger, who would you take then? And that has opened up a floodgates of responses from a lot of you. And we can tell you that we took
Dak Prescott.
And I took Russell Wilson. And in the initial question of who's the quarterback that you fear the most coming into the playoffs, you said
Tom Brady.
And I said Aaron Rodgers.
Everybody knows you're going to say Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not going to lie there. Look, my heart is a very big and passionate thing, and sometimes I just can't hide the fact that, especially come playoff time, I'm doing what I my gut and my head say, and that is stick with number 12, who's done a really good job taking you from 4-6 to a division championship in a home playoff game. Hey, you guys got a home playoff game coming up on Saturday. Doesn't matter who your quarterback is. You got the number one defense, and you got the Raiders in town. You want to talk about it? Let us know. You want to tell us who your quarterback is? Let us know. ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.